Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special finale episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Kelsey.
And I am one of your distraught hosts, Carmen, and it is a beautiful night for a finale special edition.
We did it. Pour one out for season 9.
We made it through season 9. No spoilies.
Another season on the books.
All of you at home keeping track, writing down all the notes, this makes a 100% sweep on the prediction train for Carmen, minus everything involving Arizona and Lauren. I think I was pretty much right with Joe and Alex.
You also said they were going to kill an intern.
Did I?
Yeah.
They might still do it.
Not in the finale, though.
No, you're right. All right, we got a couple. I think I at least have two shout outs. You have shout outs?
I have a very special shout out, and I'm very excited. I have to go first.
Okay, you go first.
It's so important. You're gonna know.
All right.
I received this email November 6th, so almost a full week ago from when we're recording this.
Okay.
And I wanted to tell you immediately, but I was like, I have to read this to this man on air and get his reaction.
Okay.
This is from a listener named Ellie. Ellie says, okay. Hey, Kelsey, been listening to the pod for a while and I love yours and Carmen's banter and Carmen's wild predictions. Like you, I've rewatched Grey's a bunch and I'm really enjoying listening to your rewatch. And wildly, I was on season 3 of the pod listening at work today, and you name-dropped Downers Grove, which is where I'm from.
Okay.
I did some digging and realized Carmen and I both went to DGS. He was a senior when I was a freshman.
Yo!
I'm not on social, so I wanted to drop a line to the email box, just a wild connection that I was not expecting. Love the podcast. So glad I randomly stumbled upon it. She has included in this email... She has included Carmen's senior yearbook photo.
Yeah.
Your favorite thing.
No beard Carmen. That's funny.
That is simply not the only thing about this photo.
That's fair.
You're just, because, I mean, you got tall pretty young.
Yeah.
As a lot of young boys do. They, have their growth spurt. And then it takes another, 12 to 15 years to fill out to look like a human. So for a long time,
wow.
Teenage boys look like skeletons with skin on.
Oh boy. Is this your way of telling me that you think I look like a skeleton with skin in my yearbook, my senior yearbook picture?
No, in all of your high school pictures.
Oh, okay.
Not specific to this one. Anyways, Ellie, right. Thank you so much. That made my week. When I got that email. And
wow. Did she give a last name?
She did. I will tell you separately.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I shall not dox this person.
Yeah, that's fair. Did she give you her social that we could read live on air real quick?
Yeah, she did give me her fingerprints.
Yeah. That is wild. Ellie from Downers Grove. We need to find a way to get coffee. We just need to.
I don't know where she lives now. She did not say, but
come back to Downers Grove.
If
what
she's
the fuck?
Still around, I do hope that you're able to do that. That would be so cool.
Would you, did she give contact information?
I mean, she gave me her email. I can.
Okay. Yeah. Just maybe if you reply to that email, is there any other spoilies that are in there?
No.
If you reply to that email, like put like CC me on it and maybe tell her we're literally talking about this. We talked about this tonight on the podcast and we're definitely, we'd love to.
I just thought that was,
I'd love to see her. I'd love to say hi.
I really had to do that. I just thought that I really wanted to like screenshot it and send it to you right away. But I was like, I just got to read it on air.
No, this is great. This is awesome. I love this. This is hilarious.
It's, yeah, so I loved that.
That like we could have walked in the hall with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You probably did. I mean, actually, I have no idea. Your high school sounds huge and terrifying, so.
Yeah, but like in a good way, you know.
No.
Wow. So, okay. Well, any other shout outs? That was a really good one. That was like a really great way to start this episode.
Yes. I wanted to shout out Olivia and Ashley and Sarah and Grace.
Nice.
Yeah. A little rapid fire shout outs.
We had, didn't we have a new Patreon patron?
No. She just joined Discord, but we shouted her out last week.
Okay. I have one very specific shout out in Instagram, but I also have a 5-star review to shout out.
Oh, hello.
The title. Oh, well, the person is Myri A. Madrid or Myria Madrid. Myria Madrid.
Okay. You're doing
Myria Mad.
You can keep going.
The title of the podcast is The Podcast We All Needed! !5 stars. Late to the game, but such a good show. I am current on the show, but had to start rewatching because they make you want to be along for Carmen's journey of all the great moments the show has. Love this pod! !! Love it! Thank you.
I love it. Yeah, I do love it when people are like, oh, I just have to go back and watch, like, so I can be in it with you guys. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, like, it really is. It's a lot of fun.
I'm doing it. But, like, it's cool that it motivates people also to do it.
Yes. And then the shout out that I need to talk through on Instagram. Let's see. Where is it? So this shout out is for a friend that I've made through this podcast here. I'm not going to mention her her Instagram profile, but her name is Tabitha. Tabitha, back in May, followed and found this podcast. And she had found an episode or two that we were talking about Clara?
Oh, yeah.
Clara, whoever. And she's like, I am so invested in knowing what this person did to make you guys drag this person every episode. And she messaged me last week saying, I'm all caught up and all I can say is, wow, this has been a wild ride. You just said, we love you, Clara, and now you are apologizing. So we have gone full circle in this character arc. And you and Kelsey are culture makers.
It's so true.
Like, okay. It's so funny. Yeah, but okay. It's so funny to think that truly we were so mad at Clara or Clara. I'm going to say Clara.
I was actually thinking, Clara. I think it's what's interesting. This is a tangent. What's interesting about Carmen and myself is neither of us feel like we have to like everybody. Carmen needs everyone to like him. Unsurprisingly, could give a shit. And so, like, when we get bad reviews, it actually, Carmen, it doesn't sit right with him. I just think it's funny. Carmen's, like, mad. He's like, I will berate this person until they like me. And I'm like, this is so dumb.
But look at how it got our friendship like this, you know?
I just think it's so funny because you're just like, it's interesting specifically because it, like, it's not, oh, I like you, so you have to like me back. It's like, you don't care if you like them, but you do need them to like you. And this is like, for most people, I won't say all people, but in my experience with you, it seems like it's most people.
I want good reviews because the work
I'm
and the podcast that we do
outside
is good.
Of I'm talking
no,
about
no,
in
no.
life.
Okay, but in life, everyone likes me because I'm awesome. I
That's
don't want
true.
People to like me. They just like me.
But when they don't, you need them
then
to,
they can fuck right off.
Regardless on, no, that's not historically been the case.
I mean, from time to time, if there's someone that I really want to like me, I will say I will win them over at all costs.
It's just interesting.
And then I steal their family.
Typically isn't even something that you, it's not even necessarily people you have to like, but you're like, but they need to like me.
I don't care about them, but they do have to like me. Yeah, okay. That's fair. All right. I'm not going to fully deny this. That's okay.
It's fine. I just think it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's so
interesting.
Play
this for your therapist.
No. So
does your therapist know about this podcast?
She does, yes. Interesting. I wonder if she's listened, just on her own.
Yeah.
But like she is keeping it a secret, you know?
I do wonder if she... I know
podcast
Nathan's
patient
therapist
confidentiality
told him she listened to one episode of his podcast.
Who is that? What?
Nathan's therapist had told him when she listened to one episode of his podcast, which I thought was funny.
Okay. Yeah. Man, crazy. So, all right. This is the finale. Let's just have a quick recap. Everyone dies, but not really.
I mean, okay, the good news is, guys, Carmen filmed himself watching this. So we will get that reaction. We're going to give it some time because our lovely friend who's editing does have a life and also is doing this for us for free. So,
and is a newlywed. Caitlin, yes. You look so good with you and your husband in your pictures, and your dog is so cute.
Yes. So we so appreciate her. So that is coming. And so that's exciting because when I was watching this, I was like, damn, I wonder what he says here. So I was excited.
I probably actually remember.
Well, my thing is, did you, I don't want to get into it yet, but I just need to know yes or no. Did you think for a moment that Jackson died?
Yes.
Okay. And we'll get there. Okay.
For a very split second.
Yeah. I mean,
for a very split second.
Yeah. They don't really let you think it for very long.
I guess we'll get into it.
Yeah, this is the 24th episode of the 9th season. We did it. We made it through the 9th season. We lost some good ones, guys. Mainly Mark and Lexi.
Yeah, but they died way early.
But that was this season. Lexi
died.
Crazy.
Lexi died in season 8.
I guess
season 8.
Technically, yeah, she died in season 8. But we did. It's been a journey. We lost Arizona's leg.
Mm-hmm. And she will
Arizona's
never let
marriage.
Anyone forget about that.
Oh, brother.
Wait,
we got some things to discuss. Okay. This is episode
I hope there's really good questions from the group today.
Oh, there are some good questions. 196 overall. It is called Perfect Storm. And that is a song.
Yes, Perfect Storm is a song off of the Weatherman LP by the rapper called Evidence, released March 20th, 2007 via ABB or ABB Records, and they are out of LA. This is a song, so I actually will say the beat to this song is like kind of cool. They have like this like little piano arpeggiated thing that kind of goes up every other like 16 bars or so. But this is not my cup of tea specifically on rap and hip hop in general. But it did chart as high as number 42 in the U.S. Billboard albums in 2007. And it hit number 18 on the U.S. Heatseekers albums on the Billboard charts as well. So, pretty darn impressive. I'm going to go ahead and give this, subjectively, it's not my cup of tea. I'm going to give it a 1.91. And then, objectively, I'm going to give it a 1.92. It did not make it to the Carmen's iTunes library playlist. But I will tell you that the beat was kind of cool. So with that, I will turn it back over to you, Kelki.
This episode was written by Stacey McKee and directed by Rob Korn. So, two people we've seen a lot of. Two people who have been active.
But no Shonda, huh?
Yeah, not Shonda in this episode. I do think at this point, scandal's happening.
Okay.
So, it's possible she was busy. This episode aired May 16th, 2013. To 8.99 million views. And the Netflix synopsis is, as the storm rages, patients are brought storm to the hospital rages. By the busload and resources dwindle. Mm. A doctor's life hangs in the balance.
Mm.
I mean, mostly
cryptic. Correct.
I did watch
so
the promo for this. It's not really that wild. It's just like Christina going, no one's operating in the dark. And then Meredith going, why isn't he crying? And then it shows Meredith crying.
Mm. Okay.
Misleading in that way.
Yeah, very misleading. But they, you know what? They keep the bus thing close to the chest.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's safe to say, well, I guess a doctor's life hangs in the balance. They could be talking about Meredith. Could it be talking about Weber? Who knows?
I mean, during the finale, Meredith's life hangs in the balance.
That's fair. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The end of the finale, who's to say?
So I'm gonna give you some really quick, like, rapid-fire reactions to this episode.
Okay.
Okay? Number one, about time, Alex and Joe. Fucking about time. Christina and Owen, fucking about time. The baby is born and Meredith births a child.
She yet again has to almost die.
Yet again, lightning rod to almost death. Weber gets a 10 out of 10 episode and then dies. And then Bailey is back. Those are the quick fire reactions. Oh, April and Jackson.
Yeah.
Who for fucking me, knows?
Some of the standout performances. Bailey. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Honestly, yeah. Don't like the plot, but the performance by April, 10 out of 10.
Yeah. Oh, so good. Honestly, like.
Truly amazing.
When she was in the high drama, Jackson's dead kind mm-hmm. of like emotion, and then like the running up to him, hitting him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're right. 10 out of 10. I would give no notes if I was an acting coach.
Yeah.
And it wasn't cheesy. It wasn't cheesy or over the top. It was just good.
I mean, you're like, I'm right there with you, girl. Like, I see I see the vision. I see how we're here. Another incredible scene, Callie and Arizona screaming at each other.
Oh my gosh.
Goosebumps.
Could have used a little bit more tears from Arizona. Callie was kind of
carrying the team. She doesn't feel bad. She's not going to cry. That woman does not feel bad. In my opinion, rewatching this, I'm like, this woman does not give a shit.
I think I'm willing to say that when Callie sees Arizona's ring clipped on Lauren's scrub,
mm-hmm.
and they got the wrong shirts on, I think that's going to be, for me, a top five non-fatal what the fuck moment in all of mm-hmm. Grey's to this point.
Yeah.
I think number one non-fatal moment, it's not a what the fuck, it's a what the fuck moment in a good way, like, oh, what the fuck, I love this, is still, I think, the Izzy and Denny touching in the hallway. I think that's still, and like the Teddy and Meredith, like, scrubbing in with their heels right. Like moments like that. I'm gonna put that betrayal is,
so it's
like
a non-medical what the fuck.
It's a non-medical what the fuck, but in a bad way.
Also, where I'm like the moment
shit.
Where Callie is putting it together and like you see that happen on her face. That's another, again, like the performance from Sara Ramirez. It's like there's for no words. And and it's just like maybe like 7 second cut of her face.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like
Jessica Callie's Capshaw. Just like
Jessica Capshaw. Here's my thing with
could not remember her name all fucking week.
To your point of like saying you could have used some tears, I do see like where you're coming from, just like because you are like just a very passionate person. and like you feel big emotions in general. So I think like I don't feel like that's really where the writers or directors were wanting it to go, in my opinion. For like that's her fair. Because yeah, again, yeah. I don't think she feels bad. I think she knows that it was wrong. And she's like, oh, I'm a terrible person. But I don't think she feels bad.
You know, let's back it up a little bit. What storyline do we want to start with? Just for the record, my notes are terrible because I watched it twice.
Right.
And I don't have my usual notes by storyline. They're sequential. So I'm going to kind of bounce around a little bit.
That's fine.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I need to note this because so Meredith's voiceover is happening. She's like, we call it the perfect storm. Never thought it would happen to me. While that's happening, we're getting some very CGI raindrops. It's too much.
I don't think I noticed that.
Oh, I know. I clocked it immediately. I was like, why is this what we're doing?
I need to watch that again.
I mean, I do understand the whole thing of like, oh, it never rains in California. So I guess they can't just go outside and film rain. but so we get a little like clip. It starts with Derek and Christina running down the hall in slow motion. And then it cuts 5 hours earlier. So, I mean, we are off the bat with the drama, like high drama, high stakes. We know this is a finale, obviously. So we know shit's going to go down because that's how Grey's does. No matter what they're doing the rest of the season, they're delivering you a finale.
Yes, consistently. They are.
And I'm here for it. I have to get this out of the way. We get rid of Ethan. For the love of God. We
fly about Ethan damn and Paul. Time.
This is insane. The whole former episode and the premise of this episode is this mega insane storm is coming.
And they use the horse
in
the sky.
Helicopter. What the fuck? That is an insane situation.
I also clocked that right off the bat. In hindsight, the bus can't make it. The ferries can't make it. Trucks can't make it. But a helicopter can?
A man was blown off of his roof. Like, the wind blew a man
Hurricane over. Force winds, they said.
But you're gonna take a helicopter?
No.
I don't know. It's not working for me.
Yeah.
Also, do you remember at Disney, there's a wind speed that the buses are not allowed to operate in? Like, if there are gusts of wind, I want to say it's greater than like 40 miles per hour, then the buses won't run because they're so large, they'll catch the wind and just That's what I was told. Could be lore, could be made up, could be real. Who's to say? Okay, so we finally get some actual real life conversation with Christina and Owen, specifically about Ethan. And this was really weird to me because they're acting like it's news that Owen wants a kid. I don't super get it. Like, I understand it is very important and it does need to be discussed. And I applaud communication. What is confusing to me is that, oh my goodness, we're so surprised. Owen wants a family? What?
I think the way I read this conversation is we all knew Owen wanted a family. I don't think it had ever crossed Christina's mind or Owen's mind about adoption. And this is kind of the new, like, I'm reading this as this is the new development.
Okay. I see.
Like, yeah, he wants kids, but Christina doesn't. So, like, he's basically giving up kids. But he wants them so bad that he's willing to adopt a child who is orphaned from the medicine that his hospital has provided. That's intense. That is an intense desire for children. That is unlike what we have seen before, in my opinion. That's kind of how I read it.
Okay.
Because we get some closure on it later on in the episode, but like, well, we don't really get closure.
I guess it's just more of like
an ending.
That it was like basic, essentially the implication was like, it was imminent, like it was going to happen. But I guess also like he wasn't telling her, she found out from Meredith. I don't know. Again, yeah. They don't need to be together for so many
also,
reasons.
When he,
this is one of them, though.
podcast on. When he says, did it ever occur to you that I might know my own mind better than you?
Oh my God, that's so annoying.
And like, you fucking don't, Owen. Like,
well, it's also like,
she's smarter than you, bro.
Well, that is true. But it is frustrating when you're having a conversation with anyone and they're trying to tell you what you want. And it is also contradictory to everything else he's ever said, because he has said before,
right,
this is what I want. So it's confusing, but I will say, like, it is annoying when someone is like, well, you don't want that, or you do want that. You're gonna be upset if I do this, so I can't do it. I'm like, well, I'm not gonna be upset, so don't tell me how I'm going to feel.
Yeah.
But
oh,
so
you
that
definitely
was...
want some of these potato skins if I order them.
That's exactly what I was thinking of. Could not have been more spot on for the scenario in my mind. Yeah, so it's weird because I agree with her, but I also hate the way that she's like, the way that that's being presented. But and then obviously at the end of the episode when she's like, and this is, I feel, a method that shows use in general to break up characters is to be like, well, we want something different, and so we can't be together because you'll grow to resent me, which, to be honest, is valid. Like, that's truly just the reality of the world when you want different things. Like, you can love someone, and that's not enough if you want different things. Your lives aren't compatible. That's fine. I just think it's one of those things where they're like, the concept of, oh, you're going to resent me down the line is, I feel like, something that's used regularly in television and film to break people up, because it's something that's true to life.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because I've lived that exact conversation. Like, when I moved to Florida, Jessica and I had this long conversation where like before even the proposal, it was like we would get into these arguments about how if I moved to Florida, I would resent her for like the giving up my music career. And she would have the conversation of if she moved back to Illinois, I would resent her, or she would resent me for like giving up on her Disney career. So it's those conversations are never easy. Like,
yeah,
at all. They all fucking suck. So,
where'd you guys land on that? You just both hate each other? Or?
No. There's no resentment at all.
I thought you were about to say there's no resolution at all.
There's no marriage. We've never consummated the marriage.
We're not resolved. Yeah, I think it's definitely... Yeah, you gotta think long term. It's hard, you know, to love someone, but that not be enough.
Yeah.
And I feel a lot of times people are like, oh, well, you can just compromise. But, like, to what end? You know, I mean, Christina says, like, you don't give a little on a baby. Like, you either want one or you don't. And that is something where there's not really a meeting in the middle situation.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the conversation around it, and he's like, I just want you, and I know that, you know, you can, and I believe that you do want her. There's no doubt in my mind that he loves her.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So it's just, it's been a little too drug out, you know?
Yeah. It's...
So.
I'm tired of it. I mean, when they have that piece at the end, and like, honestly, they don't really have a lot of communication other than the beginning of the episode and the middle of the, and then the end of the episode.
I do love what she says about like feeling joy in the OR.
Yeah. Do you actually, do you have any, I'm probably going to ask you for receipts a lot. Do you have the text on this?
Yeah.
And they really give you that misdirect with that first line of, do you know how much I love you?
Yeah, I do. So, I do. Yeah, she says, I felt such joy today in that dark OR. I could hear the blood moving. I knew exactly what the heart muscle was thinking, and I realized after. I feel that way all the time. I'm made for the OR. Even the boring procedures, I can feel pure joy, content. Do you feel that with just me? And he says, what kind of question is that? And she says, Derek watches Zola put applesauce in her ear, and he's enchanted. You felt that way with Ethan. You're reading too much into this. Okay, if you could stop for 1 second and listen to your heart. Christina, you don't know what I want in my life. Which I have to pause because, again, he's been very clear what he wants. And he's also been really rude about it and loud about it in front of all of their friends. You killed our baby. So I have to disagree with that statement. And then she says, am I enough? Do you really believe I'll be enough? And then they just stare at each other. And she says, I wish it was different. No, I'm sorry, Christina, Owen, it already happened. And she leaves. And he says, Christina, I said no. Well, Owen, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I... Owen Hunt. Owen Hunt. I have big problems in TV shows when the person's walking away and the other person is yelling at them, I said no, I want to be with you. Then fucking chase them. Go grab her and tell her how you feel. Go pitch the love. Don't stay sitting on your fucking ass, Owen, and
well,
think that
like
you're good
you
enough.
Know that
he know yeah, it's he's like... it's the arbitrary no, don't go. I said
oh,
I wanted
no.
to be with you.
Come back.
Yeah.
Well, it's so, also what drives me insane in shows is like when someone breaks up with someone else and the person being broken up with is like, you don't get to decide if this relationship's over. And I'm like, that is kind of how breaking up works, though. Like
yeah.
one person
breaking
wants
up is
to break
not
up,
a mutual extension.
Then you do break up. That is how it goes. Like, it's not, oh, I break up with you and you go, no, thank you. And I'll go, all right, then I guess we'll stay together. That's not really.
Yeah. You've
Did
convinced
it snow
me.
Where you live this week?
Yes.
Oh, it snowed here too. Isn't that wild?
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a very big kind of hard pivot, but I'm going to give you another
yeah.
one.
I got there in my brain.
Yeah, yeah. We're gonna pray to the capitalist overlords. We'll be right back. Build the East Wing, build the ballroom, build tariffs.
Don't do that.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be right back.
If you're listening to this podcast, it means, like us, you also have a true appreciation for medical dramas and primetime TV procedurals.
And that's why we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called the One Chicago Podcast, and it's the official exclusive behind-the-scenes look at some of the most iconic TV series on right now, including Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, and Chicago Med. The podcast comes from the series creators themselves, Wolf Entertainment, the folks also behind Law & Order.
Each episode joins host and former Chicago cop turned Chicago PD producer, Brian Lucci, as he's joined by the actors, producers, and writers behind the epic One Chicago universe, including a chat with the showrunner of Chicago Med, Alan McDonald, about what it really takes to keep a medical procedural show as real as possible.
Now, we checked out a few episodes of the One Chicago podcast, and here's what we thought. No spoilies! You've heard it, you know it. Listen to the One Chicago podcast. Search for One Chicago podcast in your podcast app. That's One Chicago podcast. And we are back. All right. Don't do any of those things I said. So,
yeah.
Also, healthcare and all that is very good for people. We need healthcare. Anyways, okay. So, yeah, that end scene with them was like when she says it already happened, I'm like, I mean, yeah. Like there's no coming back from wherever we're at right now.
Yeah.
He wants the kid, she doesn't. That's okay for both of them. Like
it's
just
about
have to,
finally accepting it.
And let's maybe stop boning each other, okay? Like you're confusing your genitals with your heart, okay? Like
it's also again, I just don't think the chemistry is enough to justify the never-ending sex.
Yeah,
Like, do you know any, and I think I said this before, like, with Meredith and Derek, as much as I, like, it is whatever, like, I don't feel terribly strongly about them, but, like, they do have very good chemistry. And so there's, like, this pull, and it's, like, you know, when he's trying to decide if he's going to stay with Edison or not, and then get really mad at her for dating other people. It's just, like, okay, you know, I see that it feels like there's something there. But with Owen and Christina, I'm, like, why are you forcing this? You have no chemistry.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Also, no, for sure. Yeah.
That's my other opinion.
Yeah. Borderline fact, though. You know? Yeah. So, they're broken up. They did the thing. Ethan's gone. Who the hell knows if their helicopter got where it needed to be?
Can you imagine if they, like, send that helicopter away and he's like, oh, it's done. And then they just, like, roll back into the ER. They're like, helicopter crash.
Yeah.
Quit.
We crash into a bus at a church.
Yeah, that was... Okay. I just... The secondary plot of this episode is, like, the ER is full of people because there's a storm, so people are just coming to the hospital to hang out. And that's just a cool thing we're doing? I don't get it.
Yeah, I also didn't get it. That when Weber's that, like...
It feels not allowed.
Yeah.
Like if I just went and hung out at a hospital, and I was like, well, you know, what if my house stops working? They would be like, you should leave. This is a hospital.
A teaching hospital at that.
Damn it.
But like, I what I'm assuming is people were like, oh, like, oh, I got this headache. I got this cough. You should.
So you think they're like faking ailments to stay?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess maybe.
Which, you know,
they shouldn't do that either.
No. Shouldn't do that either. You know what is crazy though? Like, I think about the shelter in place situations for a lot of people, especially around coastal towns, tornado ridden towns. And I think about was it Katrina, or which one was the one where was it in Louisiana where there was a
that was Katrina.
The Superdome, people were in there and they, like, the power was out and
they
were like, this is the safest place you can go. And then the power went out and people were like shitting all over themselves and it was like a terrible tragedy. And then Kanye said George Bush doesn't like black people, all of it. Like, I think about that. I think about those kind of, like, shelter-in-place things. And, like, one thing that goes wrong, hundreds, thousands of people are in bad situations.
Yeah.
There are still people in parts of the country where they haven't gotten fully recovered infrastructure-wise from the last set of hurricanes this year. So,
I mean, there's... I think... I mean, nuts. I don't know that you can really... There's probably an argument to be made for Katrina victims still not being fully taken care of.
Yeah. I think so, just this year,
we're doing really
Flint,
great
Michigan
here, guys.
Got new water pipes. Like, you know, so who knows what's happening in this country?
Yeah. It's everything's so good.
At least we have this podcast.
We do.
Yeah. Okay. Secondary plot. I interrupted you.
No, that sorry. Was really
I got hiccups or burps or something going on in me right now.
Let's just talk about, so April's engaged, okay, and Jackson's, they're, you know, she loves him. Surprise, surprise.
Clearly.
Well,
clearly.
You are surprised because last week you did predict that they're over and he's just happy for her now.
I want to say the acting and the writing misdirect was really very good. Because when, like, that scene where she makes eye contact with him while hugging Matthew and he's clapping for her and she kind of like disappears behind Matthew as he turns.
Yeah.
That really did feel like the symbolic
closure. This is
like, it's the closure that we all wanted as the viewers. And the second she started getting upset about Jackson not being behind Owen and Callie coming out of the bus, I was like, oh, she still loves him. Now they're killing him.
So for those of you who have, it's been a minute. If you, you certainly remember the bus crash, because I don't even know how much money they spent on this, but they, it looked pretty real. Like, it looked like they crashed a bus and then set it on fire.
Yes.
So a bus is coming. They were at a, like, everyone was sheltering together at this church. The power goes out. They're like, okay, let's just get on the school bus that for some reason we have and go to the hospital again. Poor choices were made, in my opinion, but they did it. So the bus loses control, I assume from wind, is blown over in front of the ER entrance. So all the doctors are going out to, like, help people in. Help people get, like, a woman is stuck in the bus. So Owen and Jackson go in the bus to get this woman untrapped from whatever she's trapped under. This was confusing to me because they make it seem there's something wrong with her leg. So they free her and they're like, okay, we can walk to the back of the bus. And she's like, no, I can't. And they're like, okay, we'll lift you directly upward through a broken window, which doesn't feel like the easiest thing to do.
No, no, it does not.
Like, if a bus is on its side, there's still...
They have the roof window of the buses that you just walk out to the ground. You just step. Also, they have the bus, the roofs, the roof exits.
Yeah, that. And then also, if it's on its side, you can still walk down the windows and then walk out the emergency back exit.
Yeah.
Also, the way it flipped, the way it flipped, the door side is still...
facing up.
So if you're gonna, anyways, it doesn't matter. It was just plot. I was like, why are we doing it this way?
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that. I'm glad these are the things that you get hung up on, because I didn't think about that.
It's only because I've watched it 700 times. So I'm like, what can I bitch about now? No, it is a great episode. I just, it's like, you, the more you watch it, the more you're like, why are you doing this? Also,
go ahead.
My, like, algorithm feeds me content that people make about Grey's, and they're like, it's like, oh, what if Grey's Anatomy was told through the point of view of, like, an HR department? What if, like, a normal doctor existed and they just came into Grey Sloan? Like, that's the kind of content my algorithm feeds me a lot of the time now. So I'm like, that's sometimes how I watch it. I'm like, what if I was just a person with more than three brain cells, like, in a situation, what would I do?
Or someone who didn't think exclusively with their genitals.
Right. So, I was like, why are you doing that?
Yeah, that was pretty wild. I was a bit confused around the, where Evie existed in
the bus.
In the bus crash scene. I also was a little confused around, okay, I hate this in TV shows. Sorry, I wasn't confused. I was annoyed. I don't like this in TV shows when they make these kids who are at, like, an age of some understanding be so incompetent at listening that the person who tries to save them gets killed at their expense.
Well, I do think... the thing we're supposed to believe is, like, okay, this child is afraid and thusly traumatized.
Totally. All of those things make sense. Scared and traumatized. Totally.
So I do, I'm like, I doesn't, I don't have, I can suspend disbelief that, like, a three-year-old would, like, sit in silence and just, like, stare at someone blankly when, you know, life is in danger. It does feel tropey. I'll give you that for sure. It's like been there, done that. But the thing is, he doesn't die. Obviously, he gets, like, the hero moment.
Yeah.
But we do obviously then see the April reaction. I guess, like, this, him almost dying has made her go, oh, wait, I gotta get that dick again. So he is getting Evie, and we don't see, like, we see him getting Evie or trying and her not moving. And then we see, where's Jackson? And then we see explosion. And it's like, oh, damn.
And then around really the back, we get the Olympics song. Bum, 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 bum. And Jackson runs around, Evie it's very, in hand.
Again, this is also, I hate to do it. I really do. But I'm like, literally, how did you survive that, dude?
How? Seriously,
where were you and how did you get to where you were and how are you alive?
And honestly, what would have made sense, because I was experiencing a couple of emotions here. Number one, I to myself out loud said, check the lungs, because how wild would it be if that's what killed, like, April has to do some kind of like work on him and she hasn't checked the lungs and he dies. Full circle moment. Messed up. The other thing was, I thought when he went to go take his shirt off to like get his exam, there was going to be a metal rod sticking out of him. Like, I was like, oh, okay. He just like, or like when he goes and hands Evie back to the mom, he then faints.
Like collapses. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
So there were a couple things that went in my, and through my mind that I'm like, oh yeah, Shonda really has done a number on my PTSD here, but it's fine. Jackson is to this point unscathed.
Yeah.
Other than some
but
slaps
I do,
and some
I was very much
April.
Like, literally, no, this man would not have just walked away from that. But
no.
It's fine.
No.
And then April comes, she accosts him. She's like, you could have died. I'm mad at you. Callie's like, get the fuck out of here. Jackson's like, yo, what the fuck? I'm just sitting here with my shirt off being hella attractive. Let me live my life. And so yeah. Hostility. Matthew does see.
He does like, see. Either
intrigued.
He thinks my wife is crazy, or I wonder if that's the dude that boned my wife before me.
Yes, because he knows that she had sex with someone, but he does not know who it was. He does not know it is someone she is with regularly.
Every day. And will continue to be with every day.
So then she goes to him and she fully is just like, bro, I am in love with you. And I want to be with you, and I am sorry that I was mean to you. And he says, you're getting married, which is the respectable response. And she says, not if you can give me a reason not to.
And then she got naked, and then they fucked.
Well, I don't know if that happened. But I do know it didn't happen.
I watched a different version.
There
was a second plane crash in this episode, too.
Everyone was naked there.
Gary Clark was there. I don't know what's happening.
So, yeah, it's... Did you see that coming? The confession.
I'll leave
my fiance for you, even though we've been engaged for 7.5 minutes.
Yes, it was still crazy to see, and I still was in disbelief. But the second that April was upset about Jackson and like very concerned for his well-being before the explosion, and then her reaction to him after the explosion, the hitting him, and then we get the Hamilton take a walk, Jefferson take a walk moment from Callie, and Callie gets to be George Washington in this reference, which I think is pretty cool. I was like, oh, she is going to blow. She's going to nuke her engagement to be with Jackson.
Yeah.
She's going to say something. I actually thought it was going to be a kiss. I thought she was going to go right to a kiss. And for a second, I thought she was going to do it in front of Matthew. I thought she was going to go insane. Nuke it right in front of her fiance and not care.
Yeah, that would be a bummer.
More of a bummer than Arizona actually fully cheating on
Kelly? Yeah, I was going to say, the theme is give me a reason to cheat on my significant other, I guess. That's the theme for this episode.
And the reason apparently is just be hot. Like,
well, yeah, that's the reason for a lot of things in this show, I fear. Because no one isn't in this show.
Yeah.
So I guess that's just the excuse.
I don't find Owen particularly attractive.
I don't find him particularly attractive comparatively to most other people in this show.
That's fair. Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like, if you're walking down the street, arguably that is probably a more than average attractive man. And then you throw in, an accent.
Yeah, the accents do it. Yeah,
accents always got to add on to it.
It puts an accent on it.
Owen does suck, though. So, anyways, okay, so then, yeah, where is your head at with April and Jackson?
I am open to it. I would I'd be accepting of it. I think as long as there's like no moves made before she calls off the engagement, or I think I'm okay with that. Basically, there's this mentality that you're single until you're married. Okay, it's a mentality. I didn't say it was my mentality.
It's a mentality that you have.
So until the ring is on the finger, do whatever you want. But like,
that is
also try to not be an asshole. I'm not saying that cheating is okay in any scenario. I'm saying that, okay, there's not an obligation that you have to that person in a forever kind of way until the ring is on.
If you're in a committed relationship, you do have an obligation to be in a committed relationship.
Yeah. So, but if you need to, if you feel that you are falling out, like if she's so enthralled with Jackson that she is not at a level that she's not with her fiance, you don't owe Matthew to stay with him and try to figure it out. You can just break up with him and then go be with Jackson. The Arizona and Cali thing, I feel much more strongly about. You're married. Your obligation then is to couples therapy, like
your obligation
counseling.
Is to don't do what you've done. Alas.
I'm not saying that you have to. The death do us part thing. Like for me, I take that very seriously. I know for Jess, she does. I know for you, you do. I know for Michael, etc. But like,
unless you're
there's divorce for a reason. I just think that you should divorce the person before you cheat on them. Just don't cheat.
Right.
I don't know. I've got a lot of feelings, but basically I'm actually hopeful that it is April and Jackson. I like April and Jackson together more than I like April and Matthew. But Jackson's not going to do a I'd Walk 500 Miles rendition of, what was that? A flash mob. Jackson's just going to buy the hospital she works at.
Yeah. I think it is not ideal. So we're going to end this episode a touch early, but the next one's going to be in long enough to make up for it. Cause I just got to go feed this baby that's crying. And then, we'll come back and we'll get back into it after everyone's favorite segment.